Evening to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll read from verses 10 and 11. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, and he said unto the disciples, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we read in your word tonight, Lord, words which many churches across the world, across the nation, could not stomach. For you speak in these words, Father, about them and you, showing that there are them who you speak a certain way so that they cannot understand. And then you speak to others so that they can understand. And so, Father, we ask that you would give us the understanding of what your son means when he speaks these words. And we pray, Father, that the words that he speaks, Lord, the them that are on the outside versus them on the inside. And so we pray, Father, that we certainly would be among those people who would understand. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. It's good to see you all tonight. Notice in verse 11 he tells us something was given to a certain ones in order for them to know and to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, but to them on the outside, that's what he's saying there, them on the outside, this thing was not given to them, and thus they could not understand. Now, in other words, it is given for you as a gift to know. But to others, it is not given to them as a gift to know. Now, the word given was translated from the Greek word didomi, and it means to give or to grant of one's own accord, to give one something to his advantage, to bestow as a gift. Notice then that the thing that Jesus is telling them is that these things he is telling them is for their advantage. It is for their benefit, but it is not for the benefit of those on the outside. Now, verse 12, he says, For whosoever hath, and we know that word hath, it's translated from the Greek word echo. So, for whosoever echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not or echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing. As Brother Vail said many times, they've got it, but they don't got it. You could be quoting it like a parrot. You could be saying the same thing, but is it truly a reflection? Is it truly an echo? So whosoever is made in such a way as to be able to reflect or echo back what is given to him, the same shall have more abundance, because an echo is receiving and giving back, receiving and giving back, receiving, giving back. It's just a repetition of the same thing with the same accent over and over and over again. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. So who is this them that he's speaking of here? In Mark 4 and verse 10 to 11, if you turn with me, notice this parable is the same in Mark 4 and in the same verses 10 and 11. And Jesus answers the question in verse 10 and verse 11. He says, verse 10, And when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, they asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, on the outside, not in the circle. All these things are done in parables. So, you know, there is a thing about a circle, but we also know Judas was among the circle as well, so, you know, don't make that too big of an issue. All right. So the them he's referring to in both Matthew 13 and verse 10 is the outsiders. Those, he says, are on the outside. And then he tells us why. Because they seeing, in reality, they see not. And in hearing, they actually are not hearing. Neither is there, in either case, he says, do they understand what they see or what they hear? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and then should be converted. And then I have to heal them. He says, and I should have to heal them. He don't want to heal them. Otherwise, he'd make it so they could understand. You understand? We're not talking about physical healing here. We're talking about a real healing of the soul. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you are seeing and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you are hearing and have not heard them. Now we see the same thing, the same thought, in Brother Branham's next two paragraphs in Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. If you turn in your booklets out there to paragraph 333, which is also paragraph 159 in our search engine, but paragraph 333 in your book, he says, look, John the Baptist would never have known Jesus if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost pointing him out. Now just think about these words. He says, that's right, John the Baptist, that great prophet that came forth and said, there's one standing among you right now, there's an ordinary man standing here somewhere, that's the Lamb of God. John said then, and I bear record that I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, descending from heaven like a dove, and it went upon him, and the voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. What is it? The Holy Ghost said, I'll point him out. Now John was just as clueless as you and I would be clueless had it not been for God himself coming down and pointing the one out, right? Okay, well, who came down and pointed out the man in this hour? The same Holy Ghost came down. And for those that believe, those that can receive it, he came. Well, it's because to you it's given to know. You see? Now, notice in the next paragraph, that's the only way that you'll know him today. So he's showing us Alpha and Omega. He's showing us the same thing took place then is taking place now. Only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you are predestinated to see it. And if it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it, because that light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception when the very God himself manifesting himself and proving it, see? But if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it. Now, so Brother Branham's making a pretty dynamic statement here, because he's telling you, look, I mean, you people listening to me, he said, if you don't get it, you don't get it. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can make you get it. Now, what Brother Branham is talking about here is election, and just pure and simple. For if God doesn't reveal it to you, there's no way that you'll ever be able to hear it, recognize it, and then act upon the Word of God. And remember, he's using these illustrations of John the Baptist to show you that concerning the threefold revelation of Christ, that unless God has predestinated you to see it, you will never see it. And let us not forget that in the beginning of the study, we saw where Brother Bram said that the threefold revelation of Christ, of the mystery of Christ, is first, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Second, this is a second fold. Now remember, he says, unless you see these three things, you won't see them unless God ordained you to see them. The second one, he says, that he would come into his church and use them to reveal himself to the world. And third, to restore us back to the fellowship we had with him in the beginning, where we walked and talked together with him like it was in the garden. Now, paragraph 77, we're just going to jump back a little bit. I'm going to read you his own words here so that my words may be garbled up, but his aren't. Now, if he had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what this threefold purpose is. Now, the reason I'm going back, remember, is because we just read in paragraph 160 that Brother Branham said that's the only way you'll know him today, and the only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. Okay? So the Holy Ghost has got to do this. Now, so we say, what is a threefold purpose? Now, paragraph 77. I don't know what it is in the book. It's my 77, so it's probably around 70 or 80, somewhere in there. 80 or 90. Anyway, he says, now if we had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what the threefold purpose is. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. That's the first. He couldn't do it as great Jehovah who covered all space, time, and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space and on out into infinity, into the eternity, and the great creature that was all of that and still is, but what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father. And the only way that he could express it was to become a son of man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the son of man. See, they didn't know that he was talking about many of them, but now you get it. He wanted to express himself. That was his one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. Now, that's the first one. That incorporates everyone who sat under Brother Vail's ministry. They understand that God was expressed in Christ. No problem there. But he turns a corner with the second purpose. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. This is what's causing separation right now. It's not you doing it. It's God ordains who will see it and who will not see it. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them, so now there had to be some way to get it back again. Oh my, this is rich to me just to even think of it. See, that was God's purpose. And that is where we are at this hour. That is where we have turned the corner from others. They believe the first part, that God wanted to express himself to the world, and so he used his son. They believe that. But the secondfold part of the great revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour is that God wants to reveal himself in you, to live your life for you. And it took God to reveal this to you, or you wouldn't be sitting here with me taking the abuse that you're taking, where people call you serpent seed and everything else, and so you're off the word and all other abuses that you take. But they did it to Jesus. They did it to all the prophets who, the Spirit of God was in those prophets. And he did say, those that live godly, which means godlike, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But now, God has shown you this secondfold part of this threefold revelation, as Brother Branham said in paragraph 79. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is, his bride, that he might live in people. Now, I want to read the next paragraph 81, since it has been a few months already, but where we've looked at this. But he says, when I see God's great purpose, revealing himself and having first to reveal himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then to bring that fullness of Godhead bodily into a people that he could have the preeminences, the oversight, the leading. And the other night, if you didn't get the tape that I preached here one night, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, see, when God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. Now, that's number two. That's where we're at right now. That's what we're studying. That's what we're examining. That's what we're laying ourselves upon God's great altar right now, so that we might be partakers of that. He's showing it here, but that this body might be a reflection of that. Okay, so we see that that is a secondfold purpose of God, is to get you to the place where you have been given, that you give him such preeminence, that you have completely died to yourself and his spirit, his life has taken over your body and is living your life out for you. And hopefully we'll not lose any more when we turn the next corner. Because the next corner, he says in paragraph 85, now that's when he can express the preeminences. You see, he's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean, all right? That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, where he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right, and thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them, and now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Now, I'm not going to tell you where, when this is going to take place, all right, because I don't know. But what I'm, this third part, because we know definitely millennium, no problem there. But we also saw a prophet in this day walk with him and talk with him just like he was his buddy, his friend. So why would it be over there if it was already started here? You understand what I mean? So I'm looking at this as the third part, which takes us then to a body change. It takes us to that other dimension. Therefore tonight, in order to focus our thoughts that he's given us on these two paragraphs in 159 and 160, we're going to just to look at predestination and election to get a more doctrinal view at what Brother Branham is talking about here. when he said the only way that you'll ever be able to come to this place of knowing him in such a way as to give him the full preeminence that he longs for is if we are predestinated to know him in this way. So what does it mean to be predestinated in this way that Brother Branham is speaking of here? Well, we've already established in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 that either you are ordained to echo or you're not ordained to echo. That means you're either ordained to reflect Christ in your flesh or you're not. And that comes from a gene seed. And Brother Branham said you could be baptized in the flesh every hour of your day, or even in the spirit, every hour of your day and still go to hell. He said if the gene seed isn't there. So there's got to be that gene seed in us to reflect. Either you are ordained to reflect the life of Christ or you're not. And if you're not, there is no way that you will ever reflect that life because it cannot be lived out by you or any other person. It can only be lived out by Jesus Christ. And it takes a complete death to self to let his spirit live that same life in your vessel. Too many people say, I try, and I just can't do it. Of course not. Nobody can. And that's kind of becoming just a kind of a coined phrase I use now. When young people say, I just can't live it, I say, that's right. None of us can. Nobody can. But he can. If you can just die to yourself and let him live your life for you, you find victory. You see? Well, the word predestinate, the word pre meaning before, and destin meaning destiny, to determine beforehand, to predetermine or predestiny. It means to mark out and determine beforehand. Therefore, chance is negated altogether. Design becomes supreme. Choosing beforehand is essential and indispensable. The word determine not only implies influence, but the power necessary to control and enforce the outcome desired. Now, basically, as I taught my children, the best form of predestination is a seed. In order for you to understand. If you have a sunflower seed and plant a sunflower seed, you're not going to get watermelons. You're going to get sunflowers. If you have a watermelon seed and you plant that watermelon, you're going to get watermelons. And in that seed is already predetermined the size, the shape, the color, the texture, how long it takes to go bong, 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 to get ripe. All those things are there. So it's already predetermined in the seed. So, therefore, then, it speaks of determining beforehand. And the only way it can be determined beforehand isn't by chance. It's not God sitting up here. I took a course one time in Minnesota from, I'm trying to remember his name. He was one of the scholars at Wheaton College, and so-called scholar. And, of course, his understanding of predestination was God stands up here and he stands in the corner of a building and he looks down and sees a car coming at a certain speed this way, a car coming this way, and he can see that they're going to crash because he can see the end from the beginning. I mean, he can just, what if the car puts on his brakes? Oh, no. Now God's all messed up. I mean, that's their understanding of God. They don't understand God placed in the seed everything there is to respond. You see, they just don't understand that when you're talking predestination, sure, God doesn't make you go out and sin, but he gives you a response that if you do go out and sin, there's going to be a response to repent. You see, he said if you be any otherwise minded, God would reveal it to you. You understand? That's what we're talking about here. Now, we can see by these words that a design and thus a designer is evident. Nothing is left to chance, which is chaos theory. Nothing is left to coincidence, nothing is left to will. Nothing is left to the strength of the predestined. Nothing is left up to the ability of the predestined. But all by a great design is planned out and backed by the power to ensure it through its final outcome. Hence, all is under a continual enforcement and control of the one doing the predestinating. Therefore, a plan is involved and destiny is set in stone. How many of you have ever been so close to death that it was within feet? I have. Why didn't it happen? Because God was there, the power to make sure that when you fall or when you're in a place where you just don't have, whatever it takes to get through, he's there to take you through. It's like Brother Branham talked about, the poem where, the footsteps on the sands of time. Why, Lord, when I was going through the hard times, there's only one set of footsteps. He said, because I was carrying you at that time. You see? All right, so that's predestination. Now, God said in Isaiah 55 and 8, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." So if God began the work in you, God will finish it, period. Again, we see in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." In other words, it's not, look, they could send in the goons tonight and just, you know, come in here and think they're going to control everything. They're not going to control nothing if God don't want them to control. You understand? He had a whole bunch of goons down there in Egypt, came after Moses and a few handful of people. And Moses just put that rod in the water, walked across, and got to the other side. The goons thought, "Well, we'll do that too." No, they couldn't, because they got swallowed up and they were no more. So we have a God that's greater than all the armies put together. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 and 7, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase." So look, it's not the preacher out there planting, it's not the preacher watering. You know, it's not the one who does either one, it's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's not you. It's God. See, Romans 9 and 9, "For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say unto me then, well, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me thus? Hath not the potter power of the clay of the same lump to make one vessel of honor and the other unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory." In other words, there's some other translations that puts it this way. God made the dark so that when it came, you know, God made the night so that the morning would show his glory or show forth the glory. God brings the storm so that after the storm you have the peace and the rest. You see, God makes a vessel of dishonor so that when you look at a vessel of honor, you say, wow, what a difference. You understand? Then knowing we have a God who is sovereign, one who changes not, who chooses right, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? One whose word is eternal and immutable, one whose first choice is his best choice, then it is this one who has chosen, period. It is this one who has planned out the destiny of all men, including you, including me. It is this one who has predetermined our destiny, even before we had a chance to do good or evil, as Paul speaks in Romans 9. So then what's the difference between this and foreknowledge? Because people try to say, well, predestination, well, it just means God could see the end from the beginning and determine. No, predestination actually is the means by which God's foreknowledge, his election in foreknowledge, finishes it. It's the path, basically. Foreknowledge, what is it? It's the word foreknowledge is made up of two words, fore, meaning it's a prefix, meaning beforehand, and knowledge, meaning to know, hence to know beforehand. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, Peter says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." So he's saying, elect beforehand. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. When? Before the foundations of the world. The Greek word is prognosis. We even use that in the English when we do a prognosis. We're kind of saying, well, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're... It means foreknowledge, forethought, or prearrangement. I like that. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Isn't that beautiful? Why? So that you could think like him. Now, come on. Can you imagine trying to have fellowship with a dog? Now, you might have companionship with a dog, but you don't have fellowship with a dog. I mean, if you start talking to dogs, they're going to probably take you away someplace. Well, God wants a people who can understand his thinking, his doxa, his glory, his opinions, his values. And so before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Because we know that no man can know the things of man except the Spirit of man be in him. And no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. You understand? Then Brother Rand goes on to say, and before one of these planets ever turned, hallelujah, God chose us in Jesus Christ. Now, how great thou art. Yes, sir. Before there was a world, before there was a planet, before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there was any light, before there was anything, when it was still God, God and his thoughts, the eternal thoughts of God, chose you by foreknowledge to know that you would be on the earth. Well, from Why Christ Speak, he says, I firmly believe in the foreknowledge of God, the predestination, not that God is willing that any would perish, But all might come to repentance. But being God, he had to know and does know the end from the beginning. See? And if he doesn't, then he isn't infinite. And if he is not infinite, he isn't God. So he wasn't willing, certainly, that any should perish, but he knowing who would perish and who would not. Now, when you just by looking at that quote alone, you might think, well, see, God just stands back and just watches it, but he already knows the end. God predestined you. That's why you have foreknowledge and predestination. Two different words, meaning two different things. Now, the word election means to select out. Now, why did he select this one out and not that one out? Well, you say because he knew the end. Well, then, how did he get them to the end? So that they would be the way they're supposed to be. He predestines them. So he elects you to be there, and he predestinates you to get there. Hallelujah. The word election means to select out, to choose, to appoint, hence to make a choice. To choose involves a process of previewing or showing forth. Then an assessment, an opinion or judgment is expressed, and the selection then is made based on the assessment, opinion, and judgment. We see many scriptures, both the New Testament and the Old Testament, which speak of God making that choice. Now, the problem is the Baptists, they believe that it's their choice. They put all of their credence, in fact, their evidence of them having the Holy Ghost, they say, is that they chose him. But Jesus said, you never chose me. I chose you. And we're going to find many scriptures where Isaiah, he says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, my choosing, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isaiah 45:4. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 65:9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, and an inheritor of my mountain. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell therein. Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, I like the idea that God planted in me some ideas that I've got just an idea in my heart where I want to be or what I want to be in that. And we've seen kind of some pictures of it out there in Montana. Those mountains, the lake. The only thing, see, that property didn't have a river running through it. I got to have all three. I'm going to have a place over there. Brother Brown's going to have his log cabin. You know, that was his heart's desire. Now, some people like the desert. That's fine. You can have the desert, and maybe once in a while we'll travel like a thought, so I don't have to stay there too long. But I like the mountains. I like the valleys. You know, I love those things. And he put those things in my heart. Because I didn't grow up in mountains. I grew up in Minnesota. land of 10,000 lakes. I never saw a mountain until we moved down this way and went into the hills of West Virginia. I guess you call those mountains. All right. Well, anyway. Psalm 139, verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. In John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. He wants you to have fruit so that he can give you things. John 1, verse 12, 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, or of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. Now, listen here. It says, but as many as received him, or it should read, but as many who were ordained to receive him, but as many as were of such a nature as to be able to receive him, to them gave he power, not dunamis. To them gave he exousia. Exousia means an ability to make a right decision. He placed something in you to make a right decision. He didn't place it in others. Place it in you. To become. What does that mean? To become. It means to grow into what you already are. It doesn't mean going from human to another species. It means going from tadpole. I don't even want to say tadpole or frog because we know frogs are not good things. But you know, but going from a fetus into a full child. All right. To become. Job 38 and 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who stretched the line thereupon? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Hallelujah. We were in him. When he shouted, we shouted. Why? Because we are made to echo. Amen? You who are such a nature as to be able to echo, it's for you, he said in Matthew 13. Matthew 25, 34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundations of the world. 1 Peter 1 and 20, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification and of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And remember, all that were ordained to eternal life did one thing, they believed. 1 John 3 and 2, Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear at the appearing, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. And in drawing, as we see him as he is, we actually are becoming conformed to what he is. Amen. Psalm 65 and 4, Blessed is the man whom thou chooses and causes to approach unto thee. Is that you? That's me. Blessed is the man or woman whom thou hast chosen and causes to approach unto thee. Why are you here? Why have you come to this word? There's something he made in you that when the eagle cried out, the little eagle said, Wow, that's it. That he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now the next word we must consider, we've already done so, is we're predestined. I'm just going to read you some scriptures here in closing. Romans 8:29, For those whom he has foreknown beforehand, he has also predestined to bear the likeness of his son, that he might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers. And those whom he has predestined, he also has called, and those whom he has called, he also has declared free from guilt. And those whom he has declared free from guilt, he has also crowned with glory. That's his opinion, his values. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us both accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And Mark 13:22, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect, but it's not possible. All right. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Colossians 3:12, but put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and longsuffering. And forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. See, look, he's talking to the elect. You're the only ones that can put on these bowels of mercies and all these things. And you're the only ones that says, he says, because Christ forgave you, so also do you. In other words, that's your being conformed. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, through the which you are also called into one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after God likeness, in the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter 2:6, therefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And 2 John 1:1, now he's talking about Jesus in that one, that being elect. But see, if we're conformed to the image, we also are elect. And we showed you many, many scriptures tonight where we are. 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, just in closing then, going back and reading what Brother Branham said, paragraph 160, that's the only way that you'll know him today. Only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God. And remember, the first fold, God revealing himself through Jesus. Second fold, God in his church, living in his church, have the preeminence in them. And then the third fold is walking with him and talking with him. And he says that's the only way that you'll know him today. Only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you are predestinated to see it. And if it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestined to see it, you'll never see it, because the light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception, when the very God himself manifesting himself and proving it, see? But if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it. So all I think, I mean, not all I think. I am so grateful, brother, sister, and you ought to all be all so grateful that God has given you his Holy Spirit, that you are here. You are turning the corner. You see that God was in his Son, manifesting, expressing through that Son, that God is to do the same thing in you, and that we will end up walking together and talking with him just as he did in the garden with his children back then. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord. So thankful for your Holy Spirit. So thankful that you put it on our hearts, O God, to cry and sigh and cry until we received your Holy Spirit, O God. Knowing that you are the author and you are the finisher, it is God working in us to will and to do. And Father, if we don't have your Spirit, as David said, as the colored man said, when he told Brother Branham, he said, "Oh God," he said, if you don't give me your spirit," he said, "when you come back," he said, "you're just going to find a pile of bones here. Help us, oh God, to be so sincere, oh God. Help us to be so just longing and crying and sighing, oh God, until you fill us with your spirit. And then may your spirit remain." That's the main point, because the foolish virgin had oil at one time and they let it run out. Help us, oh God, never to let your divine presence leave us. Help us stay humble, oh God, because we know when we get arrogant, you take flight. Your Holy Spirit is timid, just like a dove. And you take flight, and then you just let us fall and stumble and everything else, oh God. And we ask you to forgive us. But always, Father, in our hearts, keep that fire lit, we pray. And help us, oh God, on a daily basis to die so that you might live in us and through us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee